We are reading the words of our Lord found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. And God, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would minister to our hearts in a powerful way. God, we thank you for your love and mercy and grace. But God, we also thank you that you are one who calls men and women to total commitment. You will not be second to anyone. And you are the authority of all authorities. You are our creator. And you should be honored and served and worshiped properly. God, I pray for any one of us, myself included, areas of our lives that are not right, I pray, God, that by your Spirit, you would bring great conviction and change us. Cause us to fall on our faces before you in repentance and change us, God. God, have your way within our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the evidence that you are in control of our lives would be our walks and the fruit that comes from walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are you living for? What are you living for? What are you living for? Are you living for the things of this world? Or are you living for heaven? What are you living for, and how do you know what you're living for? The first recipients of this message of Jesus were being called to commitment, total commitment to Christ. And they grew up in an environment where they were taught things about God, and there was examples modeled for them that just weren't right. They were influenced by their society. And one of the biggest things that just comes natural for us as humans is we want. Some really put a big emphasis on wanting so much that that's what they live for. The things of this world. And the disciples of Jesus, as he was calling them to commitment, he was teaching them something that was revolutionary and very different. And he was saying, in essence, listen, now that you're following me, now that you have made a commitment to me, I want you to value what's truly important. And I want you to store your treasures in heaven. I don't want you to make the things of this earth of greater value than the things of the kingdom of God. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Why? Why? Jesus tells us in verse 19, because they're temporal. They're temporal. The house is going to go. It's not going to be here forever. The cars, the relationships, the career, the goals, the dreams, it's all going to vanish and fade away. You and I have a certain appointment, and nothing is going to change that, and that is an appointment with death. And all that is going to matter when we translate from this life to the life that comes, when we stand before God, all that is going to matter is what we have done with Jesus, for Jesus, and because of Jesus. That's all that is going to matter. And Jesus, he came from eternity. He's eternal. He is the only one who knows the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father except through me. And truth came down and took on flesh and became one of us and began to reveal what is to come, that there is life after death. And this thing of time is passing away. And if you make this your greatest emphasis, you're making a major mistake. He says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Make deposits in heaven. Because there, you don't have to worry about it not being there. And how do you know? How do you know what you're investing in, whether it's in heaven or in the earth. For that, you have to look at your heart. That's the first place to look. Your wants, your desires. He says, because what you value, that's where your heart will be. Your heart follows what you value the most. What you think is important, that's where you'll put a lot of your energy into. That's where you'll spend a lot of time thinking. That's where you'll spend a lot of your resources. And so what is your heart affectionate for? Now, for some of you, it is for God. Your heart is for God. You think about God all day long. You love Him more than anything. But for others, that's not the case. Your heart is more affectionate towards other things, the things of this world. And Jesus is calling you to real commitment. Now he says in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. And let me pause. When I say real commitment, I want to clarify two things. One, by that is total commitment. And by two, not this pseudo religious affection for God on the surface, but fundamentally, you're really living for yourself. Think about that. The lamp of the body is the eye. We might say it this way. The eyes are the window to the soul. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. This is an illustration he's using to communicate a spiritual point. But if you were to close your eyes for just a minute, you might have some images that are fading away, but all you see is nothing but darkness. All the light is shut out. Just like as if there was the window, the blind was closed, and something was covering the window, the light wouldn't come in. And then you open your eyes, and you could see the light comes in. You could see color. You can see people. You can see. And he says, but if your eye is bad, you're in total darkness. And then his point is found in the latter half of verse 23, where he says, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, or the light that you think is light, is darkness. How great is that darkness? If you think that the things of this world, money, wealth, success, a better career, more, storing up more, if you think that that's going to make you happy, you are sadly mistaken. And if that's what you're living for and trying to include God in your plan, you are making a huge mistake. Jesus, he says, no one can serve two masters. All of us are slaves. Whose slave are you? Either you're a slave to yourself, your goals, your dreams, your ambitions, or you're a slave of God. But either way, you are a slave. And maybe your goals may revolve around the things of this earth, and that's what you're chasing after. You can't have it both. You can't have them both. Jesus, he makes it so clear, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is a word for money, for wealth, for property. You cannot serve them both. You cannot be living for both. Because if you live for the things of this world, God takes the back burner. The things of this world will be your priority. So how do you know what you're living for? Well, question to ask is, where is God? Is he a priority in your life? Or is he on the back burner? And you know by the things that you spend your time doing, the money, where you spend your money. You know, it's almost as if those of us who are married, or if you've been married, how would you like if you made a commitment to your spouse and your spouse made a commitment to you on that certain day, and from that day forward, your spouse never spent time with you? Only when it was convenient for your spouse. Would cheat on you? Wasn't faithful to you? Would say they love you, but you could never really depend on them? They're too busy for you? How would you like that? Well, God doesn't like it when we profess that we're his disciples and that we're committed to him, and yet we don't have time for him. We don't read his word. We don't pray. Only when we need something or when we're in some crisis. We don't hang out with his people. See, God will not be second to anyone. Either he's number one or that's it. Either he is the primary master or you're the master, but he's not going to come under your plans, my plans. He's the Lord. He's the master. And so he was calling his disciples to commitment, and he was explaining what this commitment looks like. And so in their minds, they might have started to struggle. Well, how am I going to take care of my bills? I mean, how am I going to, what about what I'm going to wear? And how am I going to provide for my family and my kids? If I put Jesus first, if I put you first, Lord, well, that's going to make some changes in my life. I'm going to have to alter my life. And how am that going to affect my finances? That can affect, yeah, that's right. Don't worry about it. You'll never go wrong putting me first. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about your future. And so he reassured them. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What do we live for? Do we live for food? Do we live for clothing? Is that what we're living for? Isn't life of more importance than what you're going to eat and your body more important than what you're going to put on it? It sure is. Life is about serving Jesus and living for Him and for His purposes. That's what life is about. It's to bring glory to God and to advance His kingdom. And the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, used as an instrument, as a vessel that God can work through as His hands and feet. Life is of way more importance than the material, than the temporal. We got work to do. That's what Jesus is saying. There is work to do. And you got to get your priorities right. If we're going to engage in this work, you got to be thinking right and doing what's right. He says, but don't worry about those things. Look at the birds of the air. And I can imagine or envision in my mind's eye when they were there on that mount, and he's sharing this mountain of a sermon with these disciples and the multitudes that were there. There was birds flying around, and he uses them as an object lesson. And he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? God takes care of the birds. Aren't you more valuable than them? Which of you, by worrying about your future, if you're totally committed to me, you make that total commitment and you live for me and for my purposes. And by worrying, how is your future going to look like if you really live for Jesus? How are you going to help yourself in any way by worrying about your future if you follow me with all your heart? Not going to be able to add any height to your stature. A cubit is about 18 inches. It's a term of measurement that is the distance generally between your middle finger and your elbow. Worrying doesn't help you in any way. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its peace. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They're not working and planning for their future at the cost of sacrificing the relationship with God and being committed to Christ. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what we will eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. This is what the unbeliever, the foreigner, the heathen nations, the ungodly, we can look at it as the ungodly. This is what they seek after. This is what they live for. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows what you need. In other words, if you trust and commit yourself to me completely, don't you think that God, who knows what you need, he'll take care of you? Don't you think he could take care of your future and provide for you? And here's the heartbeat of this portion of text. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here Jesus, he makes it very clear for the disciple. The disciple has two primary objectives. For a true disciple of Jesus Christ, here are the two things that individual, that we should be wholeheartedly engaging in. Number one, the kingdom of God. Advancing and living for the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. And two, the righteousness of God. Living to continue to discover what is right in God's eyes and live for those purposes, for his purposes, to get our lives in harmony. Therefore, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What are you living for? Really, no, really, what are you living for? You're either living for the kingdom of God or you're living for yourself and for this world. If you're living for the kingdom of God, you know it. Because he dominates your thinking. Your affections, your desires are for him. Your focus is him. Your priorities, he's number one. Everything is filtered through him. You know when you're not living for the kingdom of God. And you also know when you live for the kingdom of God because you start living right. Your lifestyles change. Your thoughts are changed. Your desires are changed. Your priorities have changed. And your life demonstrates the changes. How do you know if you're living for yourself in the world? Because you try to fit God in if you have time. Your thoughts are more about the things of this world. You're more affectionate for the things of this world. You spend more money on the things of this world. You don't really support the things of God. You're really not living for the things of God. God is not primary in your life. So, what are you living for? Now, I know that there are some of you who you are living for the kingdom. It's evident. You're in his word. You love his people. You're in prayer. You're in fellowship. You're using your vessel for his glory. You are living for the kingdom of God, and God is providing for you, isn't he? You're not worried about how you're going to pay your rent. You're not worried about what your future is going to look like. You're more concerned with what God thinks and what God wants. That's your main concern. And the other things, those are secondary. God says he's going to take care of me, so I'm not going to worry about it. And even if I go through a tough time, I know God's going to provide for me. And that's your experience. You live for the kingdom. For others, that's not the case, but that can change right now. And just like God was training his disciples of what it means to be a committed follower, Jesus is training us, and he's calling some of you to total commitment. And that begins with a change of heart. That begins with an understanding that, God, I have not been committed to you. I just include you in my life, but you are not my life. I'm more wrapped up in me and the things of this world. But from this day forward, that is not going to be the case. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want you to be number one. And I don't know what that all means. Yeah, I'm not sure how that's all going to pan out in the future, but I'm not going to worry about it. If I need to change my career, the direction that I'm going, I'll leave that in your hands if that's what you want. If I need to downsize so that I'm not so preoccupied and having to do all these things in order to provide, then I'll downsize. Whatever I need to do in order to put your kingdom and your righteousness first, if I have to change my lifestyle, whatever it is, that's what I want to do. That's what Jesus is calling each one of us to. And so for those of you who you are ready, you're ready, you're done, you're tired of this world, you're done. I want to be a part of helping you make that commitment. I want all of us to bow our heads and hearts and let's pray. And saints, those of you who are committed and you've been walking, pray, pray. Jesus is about changing lives. This is what this whole life is about, knowing God and making him known. Some of you, you'll never do anything for God because bottom line, you love yourself too much. But I know that there are some of you that you don't feel that way. You struggle, but you don't feel that you love yourself too much to put God on the back burner. And right now you're making that commitment, and I commend you. And let's pray. You want to make that commitment to Christ from your own heart. You pray as I'm praying for you. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness and mercy. I thank you for every person that is here. I know, Lord, because I see so many that love you and they are committed to you. It's evident in the fruit of their life. And Lord, there are others that you see. I can't see. I can't tell completely the difference. But there are some that you see, God, and on the outside it looks like they're committed to you, but you know that their heart is far from you. But you, in your mercy and in your love, you are drawing them, and they sense the conviction of your Holy Spirit, and they're tired. They're tired. They're not satisfied with the things of this world, and they want more of you. So, God, I pray that you would give them the strength and help them as they're committing themselves to you, even right now. God, you are so holy and so awesome and so pure. What other reason should we live for? Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to watch over every one of us, and we thank you for your faithfulness to us.